This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hit the drop.
Drop a beat.
The first snap of 11 on 11 competition for the Cleveland Browns.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The first true 11 on 11 QB rep goes to.
Let me guess. It's Pickett.
Dylan Gabriel.
What the hell?
The Rich Eisen Show. NBC Sports Boston Patriots insider Tom Curran. Comedian and host Jim Jeffries. Pro Football Hall of Famer Steve Young. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yeah, I didn't overreact to the Browns news at all.
No, not at all.
Open. Nope. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. I'm sitting in Los Angeles. I really like the shirt I have on. I'm not going to lie. I like the way it looks on television. I'm feeling good about myself today.
I kind of like your fit today, man.
I appreciate you saying that, Chris. Yeah.
The belt matches the shoes. You are put together.
I can feel it. I'm in a zone.
Yeah.
I'm in the zone.
Yeah.
Pleased to be here on the Roku Sports Channel. So check it out if you're listening. Or if you're just listening, it's great. Trust me. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Call us today. We've got lots of time on our hands. We got a Hall of Famer in Steve Young in hour number three. Very funny, Jim Jeffries, in advance of or in support of his new reality competition program on Fox called The Snake. The funny Jim Jeffries in studio, hour number three. And Tommy C., it's been a while.
Tommy.
Tom Curran will be joining us on this program to tell us what's going on with Stephon Diggs and New England and what's the Patriots cooking up. And Chris Brockman did a win-loss game where the Patriots are going to be 11-6 this year. I'm wondering if
I feel good about that.
That has to do with your current diet that you're on that we're going to talk about on this program.
I'm losing my mind.
I mean, we haven't brought it up over the last 2 days, so we got that working for us.
Let me button my shirt.
The number to dial is 844-204-RICH. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman.
Hey,
how are
hold
you?
Hold on, I'm buttoning up.
Okay, very good.
Hello, YouTubers.
Jason Feller, good to see you, Jay Feller.
I'm sorry, I don't have a button to button like you guys.
You don't ever do that.
Casual Wednesday.
Or it's any day that ends with Y, including Felly. Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. What's up?
I mean, I'm wearing a Swerve Strickland shirt. You're wearing a nice blue button-up. So, I mean, that's just how we're doing.
We're all on brand. We're all on brand.
Swerve's house.
Okay, let's roll.
Rams house.
Let's do it. Game three tonight, the NBA Finals.
Game
got
three.
That working.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge just hit us in the back of the head with a home run from Kansas City.
What a bomb.
Juan Soto heard you talking mess yesterday.
Juan Soto is hitting home runs. He's got a dozen of them.
Roman Anthony, first career hit.
Roman Anthony, yeah, for the Red Sox, who lost anyway. Listen.
Oh, wow, bro. He's lethal, Brockman.
That was 2 nights ago.
Blame it on the shirt.
We won yesterday.
Blame it on the fit.
We won yesterday.
You did win.
Yeah, we lost 2 days ago.
That's right.
We did not.
At any rate.
Dodgers stink right now.
Hey, guys.
Sorry.
Everybody just clear the decks. Aaron Rodgers is in Steelers camp, and he's talking, and he's in. I mean, the whole wait is over. The wait is over. It was an interesting few months. We'll put it that way. Rodgers is on a handful of radar screens. The first domino of the whole offseason was, as we expected, Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford saying, I'm staying put in Los Angeles, put to rest all the East Coast or Eastern time zone teams that were potentially interested in him, and the Steelers were one of them. Giants were another. You know, I don't know if the Jets had any thoughts at all that Stafford would come to them. You know, bottom line is Stafford stays put, and that means Rodgers wasn't coming here. Now, Aaron Rodgers potentially could have stayed put in Southern California, and all he would have to do is just commute from Malibu to go over a canyon, very geographically sound. Honestly, if you live in Malibu, the most geographically sound team in all of the National Football League is the Rams. And then also, if you want to try and win one more time, let's join up with a team that just gave the Eagles their best run for the money in January and February. And, you know, Sean McVay sitting there. And Sean McVay said on Good Morning Football on this very day, and you've either seen it on NFL Network or on the show Good Morning Football GMFB Overtime that precedes this one every single day on the Roku channel. He said Rodgers was, you know, on the radar screen, but they wanted to stick with Stafford. Bottom line is Rodgers didn't have the Rams as an opportunity. The Jets told him it ain't here anymore. He might have looked at the Giants and go, yeah, I hear you. Met life. Know what it's like. Been there, done that. Don't want to be a bridge quarterback for a team that wasn't even sniffing the playoffs last year and was top five in the draft. That left the Steelers sitting there. Would New Orleans have been an issue, potentially an opportunity for him? I don't think he considered that as he even backed that up with his own words when he told a Saints fan, hoping that he would make the Saints great again. I'm not coming to New Orleans.
Yeah,
I mean, he doused that one pretty darn quick. So
not gonna happen.
He finally is in Pittsburgh. All the conversations of why is he waiting? Why isn't he just jumping at the chance? That's Mike Tomlin. That's the rest of a team that made the playoffs. This is the Pittsburgh friggin' Steelers, to paraphrase what Cam Hayward said on his own podcast, but don't say he was carping on Aaron Rodgers. He came on this program to kind of take me to task on that. But he's there now. Look at him. Number eight in your program. Is he number one in the hearts and minds of the Steeler fans? Maybe for some that he didn't leave them in the lurch after all this time, but he's there. Looked pretty damn spry on the practice field yesterday as well. Saw a lot of video of his footwork. Saw him in a golf cart with DK Metcalf, right?
Yep.
Saw that. He's there. Question is, why did it take so long? That was one of the questions asked of him in his post-workout introductory press conference in Western PA on Tuesday.
Aaron, you visited here over 70 days ago. What made now the right
70.
Time?
70?
70, yeah. It's been a little bit. What made now the right time to sign a deal and be here?
You know, I was dealing with a lot of things in my personal life, and some things improved a little bit where I felt like I could fully be all in here with the guys. Had a great conversation with Mike throughout the entire process and Omar, but it's good to get that done and get behind us. I didn't want to shortchange the guys and be, you know, sign, but be elsewhere mentally or physically. So until I could be here and be all in, you know, I needed to take care of my business.
All right. Makes sense, right?
Makes sense.
I had stuff going on. I'm not talking about my personal life here. As a matter of fact, they kind of had to pull it out of him that he is, in fact, married for the last couple of months.
Yep.
That is a theme that you will hear Stephon Diggs sort of echo when he had his press conference with Patriots media on Tuesday. I'm not talking about my personal life with you. And, you know, been there, done that in terms of being in, even though I'm not all cleared schedule-wise or brain space-wise to be with the team. Remember last year's Egyptian walkabout that he had already planned and the Jets weren't going to move their mandatory minicamp up a week because that would mean that all the other guys that might be at the mandatory minicamp for the week that they had planned it, might not stick around for a voluntary situation. So we'll just hold it when we hold it. We'll just hold it without Aaron Rodgers and call his absence unexcused. Been there, done that. Not going to do it. Although, you know, the Jets are on their own island of dysfunction. That the Steelers do not have the GPS coordinates for. This is a different organization. One that has a singular voice at the head coaching position who will not be pulled into a meeting after a week four loss and tell him, oh, how about benching our 40-year-old quarterback? What do you think? And then if you lose overseas, you're fired. That won't happen to Mike Tomlin as it did to Robert Saleh last year. And I think Mike Tomlin is one of the reasons why Rodgers is in Pittsburgh, as confirmed by him.
At this point in your life, why do you still want to play?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what it is. Like, I don't need it. For my ego, I don't need it to keep playing. A lot of decisions that I've made over my career and life from strictly the ego, even if they turn out well, are always unfulfilling. But the decisions made from the soul are usually pretty fulfilling. So this was a decision that was best for my soul. And I felt like being here with Coach T and the guys that got here and the opportunity here was the best for me. And I'm excited to be here. A big attraction was Mike Tomlin. I've gone against him over the years. The way that the conversations went between him and I, between whatever it was in March or April, and you know, the last Sunday when I called him, was some of the coolest conversations I've had in the game, definitely with the head coach. So he's a big reason I'm here. I believe in him and excited to play for him.
I think it's going to be a great relationship there. They're just too – I mean, Mike Tomlin's a football guy through and through. I know I'm treading into – waters with some Steeler fans who are just done with Tomlin, or they're sick of Tomlin, or they want Tomlin to finally win a playoff game. They're exasperated. But these guys are, I think, are going to be attached to the hip. That's not a problem. And Steeler fans, I think, can appreciate that. As for the good for the soul sort of conversation, I mean, there might be some Steeler fans that would tell Rodgers, you know, to
chew on bark.
That's maybe Rodgers showing up with some bark chewing comments right there. It's good for the soul. Listen, bottom line is this has to work. It's got to work. And Tomlin is orchestrating it. And he and his quarterback attached at the hip. And the chew on bark stuff, it will be 100% not discussed if there are wins more than losses, and if Rodgers leads them into the playoffs and takes the field and takes them deeper than just the first round. Which is why Mike Tomlin, I imagine, based on everything in front of him, if Sam Darnold wasn't available for him, signable for him, Justin Fields wasn't there enough for them to be confident enough to pay him even more than what the Jets were paying him to keep him there, or Stafford wasn't coming, and they certainly weren't going to go with Russ, this is the best option for him. Certainly when there wasn't anybody in the quarterback draft that would be ready to go week one who they think is somebody worthy of winning football games deep into the tenure. My estimation makes sense. And all you got to know is Tomlin believes it, because he was asked what Rodgers brings to the Steelers.
I mean, read his resume. We're excited about him being here. He's excited about being here. But we'll make no bold predictions. We're just going to roll our sleeves up and go to work and let our efforts do the talking. I'll be really straightforward with you. June reps are a heck of a lot more important for a guy like Will Howard at this stage of his career than a guy who's been doing it for 20 years. And so whatever snaps he gets, you take away from a guy like Will Howard, and we're trying to get this collective ready for training camp.
So it's no big deal that he's showing up now. Will Howard got the reps. He's here. Read his resume. And I hope for the Steeler fans, that's the Rodgers that does in fact show up and lights it up with DK Metcalf in a way that leads them to the playoffs, Roman Wilson and the rest of the receiving core can come to the fore.
Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Who most needs this to work out? Rodgers or Tomlin?
Rodgers, because you know the way I always work at this stuff. You know the way I always look at this stuff. You know it. You know the way I look at this stuff. What's pressure? Is pressure what we're talking about, or is pressure that you might not have a job or you might not be around anymore? The clock is ticking on Aaron Rodgers. Father time is ticking in a way that I don't think there's a ticking clock on Mike Tomlin's tenure in Pittsburgh.
You don't think Tomlin's on the hot seat whatsoever?
I do not.
Here's the difference, though. I mean, if Tomlin is on the hot seat and he gets fired, guess what? Like Rich says,
he's going to
get
later.
Another job. If this don't work out for Rodgers, it's a wrap. He's not going to go anywhere else. So
he will have to find something else soul enriching other than football. That's why. There's a father time ticking clock on Aaron Rodgers. And then in terms of whether it works out this year, it would help to have T.J. Watt in uniform.
Couldn't hurt.
That's true.
This was brought up to Mike Tomlin before anything else was talked about with Rodgers.
Certainly we'd like him to be here, but certainly not surprised by where we are. We've expressed a desire to get the business done. He has as well. And so we'll continue to work. We've been here before.
Mike, is there concern about his future?
No.
Did he give you advance notice that he would?
Whatever communication transpires between he and I will remain there.
Yeah. It's not his first rodeo. I'm not telling you, because if I say to him, yeah, of course you told me he's not going to be here, it means I'm taking a side with a player against management, or you could read into that, or if he didn't tell me about it, then suddenly I don't have a control of my own locker room, or you're telling me that there's now a rift between me and TJ Watt. I'm not telling you a damn thing about what I'm talking about with him. And in terms of, am I concerned about his future? Hell no. Hell no. It's not midnight yet, people. It's not midnight yet. Midnight might be the first week of training camp, right before training camp, whatever. He's going to be there. He's got to be there. End of story. This has to work. They're all in the same boat. Right now, they're not all on the boat, but Rodgers finally is on the boat to captain the ship. The admiral, if you will, the general, if you want to talk about field troops, we're talking about ships. Admiral is Tomlin. He wanted the quarterback there. They gave it to him. The quarterback likes him. He likes the quarterback. Will it work? No earthly idea. All I know, must see television every single time. Especially since, did you see the way the New York Post handled the arrival of Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh? There it is. Ha, ha, ha. Rodgers is Pittsburgh's problem now.
Wow.
Angry X.
Angry X.
There you go. Yeah. Week one.
Wow.
Week that number one.
Some back page. Oh
on
my gosh.
CBS. Must see TV.
Who's favorite in that game?
Pittsburgh Steelers. Who's favorite in that game? Dude.
What? It's a real question.
I proper to say the line will move when TJ Watt signs. Okay?
You're awfully sure that this is going to happen.
Let me tell you. Let me tell you, sir. And I will say it to the camera for two reasons. One,
are you looking at me?
But I'm looking at you, but I will turn to the camera. Number one is I'm just letting you know this is intended for you, even looking at the camera. And two, the reason why I'm looking at the camera is my shirt is on point. And I wanted to see it one more time.
Steelers minus -3.
On fleek.
TJ Watt is signing. He will get the contract that will make him happy. He's going to be a Steeler for life. Rodgers is there. They are not going to go into the season without everybody being on board. That's it. Thank you, the management. I like my shirt.
Tip your waitress.
Let's
try the manicotti.
Take a break. Tommy C will join us.
Tommy.
Hey, Tom Curran. It's Tom Curran.
What's going on? Hey. What's going on? Oh, look at this photograph.
Look at that photo.
Oh, my God. Like Tom's welcoming us to his hotel.
Like he's a model now. Nantucket Mental.
Goodness, what is this? We got to show this to
Tom.
Wow.
Curran.
Where is this? Who is this man? He's got a nice shirt, too.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal, check for traffic, and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. With rising housing prices and steeper mortgage rates, we know home ownership may seem too expensive to be achievable, but that's why we offer a home buyer's choice loan that can open the door to affordable home ownership. Our home buyer's choice loan has no down payment options available, which means you don't need to wait years to save money. And with our no refi rate drop, you may be able to lower your rate in the future without refinancing. Plus, while most lenders require borrowers to purchase private mortgage insurance unless they can make a 20% down payment, we don't require PMI. Finally, we offer fixed payments, so your monthly payment will always be the same. So if you're looking for your first home or your next home, you can open the door with a Navy Federal Home Buyer's Choice Loan. Visit NavyFederal.org to learn how you can achieve home ownership. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to approval and eligibility requirements. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. What?
Nothing.
Okay. What a weird way to come back from commercial break.
You just looked at me like,
no,
hey,
I know. Sometimes
up,
I like knowing what you guys are talking about in a commercial break.
I let them know what we were talking about. We were discussing the differences between vampires and witches.
That's true. I was cooking up kind of a week one money line parlay for a season that's 3 months
talk
away.
Let's talk about this. Are you really looking
at the week one lines?
At a week one line.
Yeah.
Before teams were even set.
Or two or three, and thinking if you put these together, you can make some money 3 months from now.
17-1, just throwing it out there. Jets, Chargers, Cowboys.
So the Jets beat the Steelers. The Chargers, where are they?
Home for the Chiefs.
Actually, that's not home. That's Brazil, pal. Oh, on YouTube.
Even better.
TV on YouTube right there. Okay. And then who's the third one?
Cowboys.
See, but
everyone's sleeping on the Cowboys.
All right. The Cowboys are. So let me ask you this question.
I just did that. I was sorting in for TJ.
No. But do you, again, because you know, I'm not a gambler. B, I'm not allowed to be a gambler, even if I thought about being a gambler
either.
We wouldn't ask you.
Yeah. Because, you know, but do you not view this like fantasy where sometimes you don't want to play someone on Thursday night because if they don't do well the whole weekend, potentially showing up?
I hate playing guys on Thursday.
If you're going to do a parlay, why would you want a Thursday, Friday, Sunday thing? Wouldn't you want it all on a Sunday?
No.
That way you get all your action throughout the 3 days.
Yeah, I want action on every night.
I forgot you're a junkie. Rich. Yeah. My bad.
It's a sickness, Rich.
And we'll have some single-game parlays on each of those primetime games.
There are 1-800 numbers that we should make him call for help.
He's not that bad.
No, I'm not that bad.
I keep expecting to get
evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
Although, keep expecting to get a knock at the back door here from somebody he owes money to.
Full disclosure, have I been betting on Roman Anthony to hit a home run the last two nights? Yes, I have.
He has yet to, correct?
No, he got a hit yesterday, but he's going to hit a home run, and I'm going to cash in.
That broken clock will be right.
Yeah, of course.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. The New England Patriots have Stephon Diggs.
Yes, we do.
In their fold.
Love it.
But it's just, look, you need him.
Big time.
Okay. In the same way, I just remember when the Knicks were particularly poor, we were just waiting. Who's going to come? Who's going to come? Who's going to be that Pied Piper from outside that says, I will show up. I will be that guy. You can build the team around me. And I'm going to show everybody in the league that this is a viable spot for success. And, you know, the Knicks found him in Jalen Brunson. They tried quite a bit. And it's actually, I think, ironic that right now they're supposed to be in a pole position to acquire Kevin Durant, mm-hmm. because he's the guy they put on their season ticket missive to season ticket holders that, hey, stay tuned for the fall. When he wasn't even on their team, he wasn't even maybe considering.
That's awful presumptuous.
There was.
But Stephon Diggs raised his hand and said, I will come to New England. The issue is, though, is he blew out his knee in week 8 last year. Is he going to be ready for week 1? No idea. Is it going to be in the middle of the season? No idea. Do the Patriots have any idea of what he looks like? Well, yes, he's there, but not, you know, all the time. And certainly when there was some voluntary stuff, he wound up being on a boat with his very famous girlfriend, who he showed up at the Met Ball. Was that the first time that he and Cardi B were out and about?
Yeah, and then he was courtside at one of the Knicks games.
Not to turn you into TMZ over there, like the Harvey Levin of the Rich Eisen show. But
yeah, he was.
This is the sort of stuff that he's bringing to New England.
Yep.
But it's also questions that he's bringing. Like, what's up with the boat? And what was that pink stuff? And what's going on, man? Are you all in or not? Are you there or not? Well, here was the exchange with the media and Stephon Diggs in New England on Tuesday.
Well, obviously, I want to be as candid with you guys as possible. I kind of like having people where talk about my personal life with people I don't know personally. I'm pretty sure everybody here, men and women, are great people, but you know what I'm saying? I kind of keep my personal life personal. I had a conversation with Graves, obviously. I'm going to echo everything that he said. He told me, you know, hoping everybody make a good decision. So, and I had a conversation with people in the building as well. So, everything else, in particular, is all eternal.
So, no personal questions.
Oh, okay.
The only issue with that is if the personal questions actually have professional ramifications, then we kind of need to know the answer of what's up with that. Yep. But he had the conversation with Vrabel, and obviously it's clear enough for him to still be with the team, and no worse to wear, bygones, bygones, unless there is something lingering. It's one of the main questions we have for our friend Tommy C. Tom Curran back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our friend from NBC Sports Boston and the host of the Patriots Talk podcast with a very large microphone in the foreground. What's up, Tom? How are you?
I'm great.
You doing all right there, Tommy C? Everything good? Uh-oh. Did we lose him? Uh-oh. Did you? Nope.
Never should have moved it. Never should have moved it.
I'm sorry.
Never should have moved it.
By the way, words to live by. We don't even if it's not microphones. What's going on there in New England with Stephon Diggs? Is there anything of issue, Tom?
I think the way Mike Vrabel has answered every question posed about Stephon Diggs with kind of a measured level of consternation and reminding that, yeah, this is a certain standard we want to have. It's basically, look, no more distractions. It was interesting with Diggs yesterday when he spoke to us. He wasn't, you know, opening up a vein, genuflecting and throwing himself at the mercy of the media or the Boston sports fans and saying, forgive me. And I don't blame him. I mean, he's kind of a hired gun. He's been in the league for 10 years. He leads a public life that is frequently on social media. Ain't nobody got anything on him. I mean, it was a bag with pink stuff in it. We can all presume it was some kind of a mood enhancer. We don't know what it was. It could have been crushed up bear aspirin, if you wanted to say that. So to him, he probably looks at it as a mountain out of a molehill. And maybe his teammates would as well. I just think that the Patriots themselves are looking at the situation in totality and saying, look, it isn't the same thing as any number of extra legal activities that a guy could have been involved in, but it's just a distraction. Can we not have those? And that's why I think this is really interesting with the physical that is attached to Diggs' money, because Diggs has come out and looked really good, Rich, compared to what we expected. And he said yesterday, look, I'm a dog pulling at the leash. And the Patriots most likely are going to slow play, clearing him to play and giving him the final physical. I don't know that. They might have had a conversation, but I can see that being kind of a bubbling subplot between the two sides. I'm feeling good. Can I have my physical? We can start my payments of $12 million, please. And the Patriots say, not yet. Not yet.
Hmm. So there's some more miles to go before we have an answer to if there's any there, Tom.
Yeah, he did sidestep the question of whether he had taken the physical. He began with an I don't think so. And that would be my presumption, too. If you're still in a state of recovery, which he is from his ACL, you haven't yet been cleared fully and passed the physical that is attached to his contract, as Mike Florio has done a good job of detailing. Diggs is in a situation where until he passes the team's physical, he doesn't get any money. Now, I'm sure they're paying his way back and forth to camp and mini camp and everything else, but he's not getting his contractually agreed upon $12 million worth of signing bonus. So if I'm Diggs, I'm saying, I'm ready to go. Feel good. I'll take the physical whenever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And the Patriots can certainly say, we're doing what's best for you. But there can be, at least if Diggs is looking at it, he said, they don't want to give me the money until they can tell I'm all fully on board here, which we've seen him be fully on board since the great pontoon boat incident of 2025.
In terms of when he gets paid, usually guys get paid, you know, during the season. Is it possible he doesn't take his physical until, you know, they put him on PUP or something like that? And then he, I'm just wondering, when's midnight in this situation? That's I'm always looking for when everybody considers is midnight this time of year, Tom.
Too much speculation on my part if I started guessing, Rich, honestly. And Vrabel is very attuned to what we say on these shows. So I'm not going to guess and say I know when midnight is. But I do see it being an interesting dynamic between the two sides. If one guy's saying, I'm good. I feel good over here. Look at me jumping up and down. I mean, he looks ridiculously, you know, fast.
Mm.
And he's taking part in a lot of stuff for a guy 7 months off an ACL. But until he passes, he doesn't get any money.
Well, I mean, he's a supremely talented player. And if healthy, is exactly what the doctor ordered there in New England. So I imagine, you know, everybody there is working towards making it work, right? To making it happen.
That's the point. They want Steph Diggs to play football.
Right, right.
So that's the upshot of this whole thing. You know, as we in the media speculate on different threads that we can pull to see if there's an issue here or there. In the end, they want it to work out. Diggs wants it to work out. Drake May wants it to work out. Robert Kraft wants it to work out. So my presumption is it will work out because he doesn't have a litany of, again, extra legal dust-ups that accompany him to New England.
No, not at all. And, you know, I bring that up for two reasons. One, just to be obviously fair. And two, you just said Vrabel's listening. And if that's the case, should I say I'm looking forward to seeing him at the American Century Championship in Tahoe? Should I, you know, if he is listening right now, do I remind him of the last four Novembers in college football? Do I do that sort of thing?
Whoa.
If he's listening right now, you know, or I say hello, a little provocative at the same time, kind of like him, a needler.
He can be provocative.
Yes.
He'll go right back at you. Yeah. Especially if he knows he's going to give you the needle.
Yeah, that's right.
See, he more finds out if you say something that's really sensational and then you somehow it will pass back to a WTF at some point.
Does he have his own bearish? Like how much of the Belichick way is shown back up now that he's there and McDaniels is there, just like old times, Tom?
Different way of doing it.
Okay.
It's a different way. Bears, Bill wouldn't come. It's different. It's very interesting because he's, you know, as you know him, he'll just say direct, what was that? Do you know what you're talking about there? Oh, no, I'm speculating. Well, stop speculating. So, and he's not listening necessarily to this show, but
no.
God bless the aggregators.
Okay. No.
God bless the aggregators.
But in all seriousness, though, I mean, we could snap back to this point last year and Gerard Mayo's going through it for the first time. And there's questions about whether He is, in fact, up to the challenge, up for the moment. You know, things that he would say in the media get a lot more parsed and picked apart than obviously a former coach of the year in Vrabel coming back with his red jacket and everything. How different is it? And does it remind you of the good old days in any way, Tom?
It's far different. It's far more, and this is not a slight to Mayo, it's far more organized. You have experienced coaches on the offensive line, experienced coaches in the wide receiver room, guys with history together, whether it's McDaniels and Vrabel or defensive guys with some of the defensive guys. Doug Marrone is the offensive line coach. It's just a fleet of experienced coaches who know each other well, who understand what they want to do. Last year was Mayo with Alex Van Pelt and DeMarcus Covington in his first year as a defensive coordinator, and the wide receivers coach in his first year with young wide receivers. It was just, and that's why they set such a low bar with the media and outwardly for themselves. It's going to be a building year. It's a foundational year. I hope we don't struggle, is what Robert Kraft said. But that notion that it was an apprentice year and a building year, I think, seeped through the organization to the point where it got to, well, this year really doesn't matter. And there was a lax attitude that seeped through the team. This year, Mike, I think, is extremely urgent with everything he's doing. He's not talking like Bill used to talk about. This is a teaching camp. It's not competitive. Every day, Mike is talking about competition. Every day, you can hear him speaking to the veterans and the better players. Look, I expect the most from our best players, saying that what we need to first is to find guys who don't do stupid things. Because right now, we're not good enough to take advantage of other teams doing stupid things because we do stupid things ourselves, or at least that's what he's seen. So he needs to get to a point where they can take advantage of other teams' stupidity. And he said that before, and I've kind of heard him say it time and again during these OTAs.
Yeah, I mean, let's not forget how he used some clock management loopholes against Belichick famously. I mean, like, Vrabel comes to the table. I mean, he's a former coach of the year, for crying out loud. I mean, and so obviously it's going to be different, but me just seeing that photograph of McDaniels with Diggs, I can only imagine McDaniels connected to Drake May. That alone, right? That alone should be a significant upgrade for this kid, and exactly what this kid needs. The last guy who wore number 10 had his best time, obviously, in an ultimately unsuccessful tenure in New England. Mac Jones had his gritty in the Pro Bowl year with McDaniels being his OC. And I can only imagine what this looks like. What has it already been boots on the ground looking like, Tom? Do you think
it looks good? It looked really sketchy. The first OTA that we saw, there were four picks for May. They came in like nine passes. It looked like he was thinking a lot. He was hesitant. His fundamentals weren't good. And then the next two we saw, and then these 2 days of minicamp, he's looked much, much, much better. And I think that's incrementally what you're going to see. And, you know, we asked McDaniels about that four pick day and said what you would expect a coach to say in May. Every play is good. The good ones are good because they're good. The bad ones are good because it's given us an opportunity to learn something. And you can see that May, from last year at this time until training camp, he made massive progress. And in these 3 weeks, he's made progress. They have better players around him. They have a better offensive line, on paper at least. It should just be exactly what you would hope for May. But what's interesting, too, is the expectations, Rich, are so high because of McDaniels and Vrabel and May's, you know, second-year jump that's presumed, that if it isn't good, you will have to try and be resilient and deal with the slings and arrows of, I thought you guys were going to be good this year. Why are you 2-2? Why are you 3-5? And that can certainly happen to a building team.
Yeah, I don't know. In my estimation, I think Vrabel's going to handle that just fine. You know what I mean? And I think the fan base might be, you know, disappointed in not having expectations met if that happens. But just the fact that this has been put into place, right, that this is the coaching staff and also the draft, I think it gives some confidence, if not to speak for the Boston sports fan, but I know a few. It's just there's a confidence that there's adults in rooms now that are making the right decisions. The guys on the screen, the 11 draft choices, everyone on my set, when I asked who had a great draft, mentioned the Patriots on NFL Network. And I'm wondering, what's the general sense of how many of the guys on the screen are going to be starters, are going to have the opportunity here, Tom?
I would say the first three.
Campbell.
And we're also seeing, where's that guy Chase on? Is he on there? No, he's not on there.
I would say
the first three. Campbell is entrenched there, left guard. Travion Henderson is definitely trying to, I think, fit into the Josh McDaniels third down back role.
Like James Kyle Williams, White, like a James White role? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he's looking like a Jimmy White, a Kevin Falk. And that's great, but he is bigger than James White. He's a better runner than James White was.
Yeah, right.
He could be more Rex Burkhead-y and have that role, because you still have Stevenson, who's a good player, and Antonio Gibson, I think, had a really good year last year. So they have a running back stable. They have a slot receiver. They have multiple slot receivers that can get available in the middle of the field. This kid, Efton Chisholm III, I think it was Eastern Washington. He was undrafted. He's ridiculous. Every single practice, to the point where we get the blowback from our local media who's not there on the radio. Oh, who's your little hero this year? Who's your little pet guy? It's Efton Chisholm III. And I'm like, he's really friggin' good. Why don't you guys come down here? We're doing all the work. Come down here and watch for a minute instead of sitting there back there and taking our work and making fun of it.
Yeah. Let's get involved in the Boston media.
Yeah, make the sausage with us.
It's exactly where I want to be, right in the middle of that.
All the Chisholm.
No, there's optimism, man.
There should be. And you know what?
Okay.
The cyclical nature of football in the AFC East, they were at the bottom of the Ferris wheel. Mm. Now, Rich, is the Ferris wheel turning?
Mm.
Okay, not say Buffalo's still sitting pretty up there.
Yeah.
And they should be.
Yeah.
But are the Jets and Dolphins cycling down to a point where the Patriots could turn around and go, where we were?
I don't know, Tom. I think maybe the Dolphins are on the Ferris wheel, but the Jets are on their own ride. It's Mr. Toad's wild ride. It's all over. It's a lot more.
Teacups.
Dude, it's a lot more horizontal and all the hell all over the place. But the Jets could be on the way up, too. You never know. That's the beauty of the regenerative spirit of the NFL. And I just wanted to have you on to talk about what's going on over there. So I appreciate the time, Tom. Let's do it again.
Oh, my God. It's a pleasure for me.
Thank you.
These are the things I like to do.
Excellent.
Hopefully you have a tremendous summer. You'll be at Edgewood in Tahoe.
I will indeed. I'm going to be at the American Century Championship. Some people think that if they have a sense of humor, they're going to stick me with Vrabel and A.J. Hawk in the first round.
That's hilarious. Word on the street?
I have no idea how I'm going to be paired, but a couple of my friends are like, you're going to get stuck with Ohio State guys. I'm like,
That's awesome.
Yeah, awesome is a different word for me.
Vrabel wouldn't even mention anything.
Vrabel. I don't want to play with Vrabel because my game is not up to snuff.
Where roasted.
Oh, my God.
Hours.
It'll be a 4.5 hour, 5 hour spoiled walk.
Start close. Okay, Rich, that's it. Just start close. Start working from 50 yards and in. Don't even go to the range.
Okay.
Get your chipping down.
Thank you.
Get your long pitching down.
Okay.
Get your round the green stuff down. Get your putting down.
Okay.
Then work your way back.
Thank you, sir. Tom Curran, everybody, giving me information, advice, and confidence. Good to see you, Tom. Thanks again, brother.
See you, buddy.
The best of the best out there, Tom Curran.
Can't believe you didn't mention his promo picture.
Oh, that's right. Is he still on?
Yeah.
Is he still there?
Tom, don't move.
Yeah, before we go, can we pop that up? Tom, I don't know. We used this promo photograph before we went to break to promote you. What is this?
What is this?
Blue Steel.
What is this? Where is this? What is this?
We have a marketing arm that sometimes, I guess, has a budget.
Yeah.
And they need to get through that budget. They say, can we do some Sizzle shots of Curran?
That's a fantasy football name. Write that down.
Money.
Sizzle shots of Curran.
So good.
Maybe a fantasy football name, man. Let me see the avatar.
Let's go.
It's Curran looking all inviting. Hey. Come up. Hey, welcome to my bistro. That's what it says to me.
Can I interest you in a 4-bedroom, 3-bath?
That's right. If I get a mortgage for you, here you go.
What goes through your mind when you hear everybody wants one of you? Everybody's trying to hire a coach that's you.
Yeah.
I got to get this guy that's you. They want one of you.
Yeah.
What do you think of when
what
you
goes
hear
through my mind is, you know, it's flattering and humbling, Rich, but it's a result of the success we've had as a team. And, you know, it's just like, you know, but you know what, though? It is true, though. Like, we got great coaches on our staff. We got good players, you know, so much in alignment with Les and his, you know, his group. And, you know, it's a great reflection of our organization and what we've done. And I think, you know, that's the biggest thing. And to see guys that we've worked with over the last couple of years get opportunities with Matt and with Zach Taylor, you know, they're deserving of it because of what they've done on their own merit. And when they go in and compete for jobs, people say, man, we can see this guy leading our organization. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing those guys thrive.
Have you told Kingsbury that he has a job because of you, too?
No, sure, that's the that. Cliff got his deal on his own.
Okay, no, I'm sure he did. I mean, you were knocking on his door too to join your staff. I know that. So you
well,
I
know he, you, when
you,
he was
you pantsed him according to
Schefter. I got him good, didn't I?
Yeah, you,
that was
I
pretty
think
good.
You told that to Schefter that
I
you,
did.
You totally. What did you do to him?
Well, basically, you know, we he obviously has a pre-existing relationship with Patrick Mahomes. He was out here doing some things, and Cliff was having dinner with him and a group of people, and we have a mutual friend, and I tricked him into thinking that, you know, he was tampering and that he was going to lose some picks. It was
that's what you changed somebody's name in your phone to Roger Goodell.
I did. Our mutual friend, he yeah,
so it showed
I couldn't let this go on too long. So our mutual friend, a guy named Chaz Gessner, I put his number in my phone as Roger Goodell and had him send me a text that said, you know, hey, this is tampering. You know better than this. You guys are both, you know, and I showed it to Kingsbury and I said, you know, Mr. Goodell, he never texted me. I said, you better call Steve Kahn right now. And his face, he was like, he said, I thought I was going to throw up. He's like, that's wrong. I mean, I couldn't let it go on for more than 30 seconds.
Yeah, you could have had it.
It was a good but a bad joke, man. I mean, he's like, you ruined dinner, man. But it was...
You know what? Just hearing you with Kingsbury, just
coach.
Seeing you with Les Snead and seeing you with Weddle, and I feel like that episode of Seinfeld where I'm hanging out with all the beautiful people and all the great hair right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
right.
all these hair guys. I feel like I'm in a different club. Ladies and gentlemen, Sean McVay and all of his appearances on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show for all of that. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. That was interesting with Tom. I think there's cause for optimism. There really is.
I'll say what Tom won't say.
Okay.
We're back.
Okay. I mean, we're back. I don't know what that means. What does that mean, we're back? You used to win the division every year and be a Super Bowl contender every year. That's not what you are this year.
Not yet.
Okay. But in terms of being back,
nobody thought Washington was that last year either.
Okay.
Okay. You're going to lose week one.
To who?
The Raiders.
The Raiders.
No chance.
No chance? What are you talking about?
No chance.
I think there's a chance, and I think deep down you know there's a chance, and I think right now it's a bit.
Oh, I don't think we're losing to the Raiders at all.
But you don't think there's a chance that you lose to the Raiders? You're the ones who went into Cincinnati last year and beat the Bengals.
And that was dumb. Should have been the number one pick.
Well, the first win and the last win of the season.
We're both stupid.
A bookend of dumb.
I smell a bet.
By the way, bookends of dumb is the flip side to sizzle shots of Curran. If that was a 45.
Such a good
back in the day. I've got an interesting call to action coming up here based on what we're about to talk about. And later on in this hour, we will hit you up with what's going on with certain holdouts.
Or hold-ins.
Mm. Or guys like Micah Parsons getting ready to be paid.
I like to hold in.
All that sort of stuff that's coming up. But Chris Brockman, You are on day three of a specific diet that's going on with you?
Man.
What are you?
I'm doing this like watermelon cleanse sort of thing. I saw this on Instagram, so it's like dumb to begin with. But this dude lost 10 pounds in 5 days eating nothing but watermelon. And I'm like, oh man, I really need to do that. Because this weekend, I'm going to this debutante ball in Pasadena for Sarah's goddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going with their family and everything. And I had to rent a tuxedo that had tails and all this stuff. And I just wanted to look nice and not, I mean, not look like a, you know, a dancing penguin. And so I'm like, let's see if I can thin out for the week. And so I'm on day three and I'm really hungry.
How much have you lost already?
I'm down 6 pounds in like 2.5 days.
Because you're eating only watermelon.
I'm eating only watermelon. I did
meaning for breakfast and for lunch and for dinner.
Yeah, today I actually switched it up and went pineapple. So, and then I did cheat last night and had a 100 calorie beef stick because I was really hungry. But I'm doing my best. I feel like if I can get over the hump today, I'm kind of going to coast into the weekend.
How do you know there's a hump?
Well, like when the Wednesday hump.
There's always a hump.
The Wednesday hump. We have so many snacks in the back. You know how tempting it is? Those pretzel bites with the peanut butter.
I get it.
Really hard to not have any.
I work here too.
Yeah.
But you really are only eating watermelon. Is there any way you're preparing it or you're just
I'm just, people have asked me if I'm putting salt or anything. Nope. Just. I ate a whole water. The last 2 days, I got one of those, you know, little watermelons from the store. Yeah.
I mean, so good. You know, there's stands all over this town where they can put on lemon or lime. You'd probably not be able to get it because they're being snatched off the street and sent someplace.
Yeah.
Since they're the villains around here. Right. But at any rate, that's what you're doing?
That's what I'm doing.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're
succeeding.
Crazy.
So far.
Insane.
I know. It's all for this thing. It's all for our friends and our family.
You
know
okay. I
mean? How hungry are you?
Extremely.
So that's my call to action is I want people to, what's the craziest thing you've done to lose weight fast?
not healthy, but I feel great.
Would you go on a fruit cleanse diet, TJ?
I need to go on a diet, period. But look, here's what you're going to find odd, despite the ugly stereotype that has lasted for years. I don't like watermelon, believe it or not.
Really? What is there?
Neither do I. By the way,
it's genetically engineered. There's no seeds in it.
I'm the only one in my house that does not eat watermelon.
Oh my god!
I don't like it either.
You know,
I'm the only one.
If we're going to be just straight, honest, and open like we are, I think as a little kid, I did see those pictures and heard that stare, and I think that mentally
you're like you're not going to play into
serious
it.
With you. I think mentally that messed me up to the point where I don't like it. And I am one of the only people of any color, race, religion, ethnicity, I think, that doesn't like watermelon. But
I don't either.
I just think
it's so good.
I need to point this out, though. We're burying the lead here. And you may not know the lead because I've known this man. How long have I known you now? 15 years in county now?
Yeah, yeah.
One of the first moments you ever appeared on the Rich Eisen podcast was to explain why you hurt yourself with your girlfriend. What happened with your girlfriend at the time?
I fell out of an avocado tree.
Out of an avocado tree.
And I think I still have a scar. It was like over a foot long.
One of the first stories he ever told on the Rich Eisen podcast was how fell out of an avocado tree and hurt himself because his girlfriend was into avocados.
Yeah.
Okay.
A story you never telling me.
Now, if I had told that man back in that day, that one day he would eat only watermelon for 3 consecutive days with the idea of keeping on going because he needed to lose weight for a debutante ball.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because that is what his mother of his child was taking him to. What would that avocado tree boyfriend say?
He probably would have said child.
I don't even know who you are anymore.
It's been quite a journey since.
It's called full circle ish.
Yeah.
This is a dream.
This guy, you are evolved.
Nightmare.
He's changing.
I need to look good in my rented tuxedo for a debutante ball, so all I'm going to do is eat watermelon
for
days.
Picking it up tomorrow,
Jim Jefferies coming out.
Del Tupo hat.
The United States Soccer Federation presents the U.S. Soccer Podcast.
Inside the opening 45 seconds. What a goal! With that cannon of a left foot. All even at one.
Never miss a game.
What a start for the United States.
Shot from distance. What a goal!
Never miss a moment.
Exquisite from the San Diegan.
Can he finish? Yes, he can!
Yeah! The U.S. Soccer Podcast. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.